Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, and order scenes, and footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow.
No pleasure here on earth I find. No friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. He hits fairly well, my own lover. I never expect to see you again. For I'm bound to ride that perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps you'll die upon this train. You can bury me in Sunny Valley for many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this grain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
That's right. King Shazoo's the Terrible, the Ruthless, the Rotten. Woohoo! Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Hey there. Hey, everybody.
Everybody, today, I want to talk about Voices of Reason. It's a subject that I don't think we've really ever touched too much on. I mean, we've been similar down the road, but either way, Voices of Reason, you know, there's been a lot of people, many people in the history of the world that got up with really great speeches and words of motivation and was... Their ultimate goal was to bring peace and, you know, try to fix our world and that kind of stuff. But I had to ask the question, Voices of Reason trying to bring peace, have they been ignored or have they been suppressed? Maybe even a combination of the two, it's hard to say. But either way, I think that deep down inside, all the people of the world really want the same exact thing, you know? And they listen to these Voices of Reason, and they're motivated for a moment, you know, hey, yeah, right on. And I was going to play a couple podcasts, but I'm just going to paraphrase it because it's probably a little bit less lengthy and easier for me to paraphrase what the message was I was trying to get through with these podcasts. But if you want to watch the original video later, I guess you could just jump over there to the superchat.html and post all the video links on there. But one guy was talking about building houses for homeless people. And he did really good. He got like 40 million views on a video, and he got people to help put money into the deal. But it seemed like every single time that he would talk about his project, that there was always people would try to say other things about it. See, he went through the process of building these actual homeless people, and he was able to help out about 14 families in another country to have these homes that would keep them warm and away from the elements. And the people were like, but what about their health care? What about their education? What about their job? And I can understand why this guy would probably be a little bit upset about that, is because he was only able to help 14 people. Because if he would have had the resources, he probably would have helped every person out there who was homeless. But the thing is, he was actually doing something, and he actually got something done. But as far as the jobs and the health care and the education and all that kind of stuff out there, that's when he needed another person of the dream team that I like to talk about all the time to come there and help, you know, organize that. Help find these people some jobs. Help find them some education. Help that. It's just one man out there trying to fix a problem that it doesn't seem like society has been able to, with the best minds out there, have been able to solve these problems. And it really frustrates a lot of us out here who really do care about, you know, our brothers and sisters around the world, because we know the solutions are available. But just like this guy here, you know, he actually got motivated. He got the people motivated, 40 million people, plus he put it together a fundraiser and was able to raise the money to make some really high-quality shelters for these people to, you know, save their life. But when the most brilliant minds of the world, the most, resource, I'm trying to think of the right word to say, they have more resources, they have more than enough resources and money to do the job, but they never can seem to get anything solved. You know, Bill Gates, for all of his downfalls, he did help a lot of people out in the world. You know, financially, he's got some weird views that I sure don't agree with. And, there's a lot about what he stands for that I just completely disagree with. But nonetheless, regardless, if he would have wanted to seriously solve a problem, I honestly believe that he had the resources to get more people of his stature to be able to, you know, come together and make it so. And one of the other videos talks about the history of how many wars and how many people had died and all the homelessness and the sickness and everything like that, and that it was like a perpetual repeat of history over and over and over again. So why is it that the most brilliant minds of the world haven't seemed to be able to, for decades, solve simple issues and bring about peace in the world? We know all the conspiracies, and we know all the things about the bankers and every bit of the corrupt deep states of the governments and all this different entities, lobbyists for special interest and power industries and corporations all together. And we know that the game that they play, it all revolves around the almighty dollar. And if they really seriously wanted to fix this world, then that kind of power, that kind of resource, and the capability of using the mainstream media to motivate people to go out and help their brothers and sisters around the world, it would be unmatchable. You know, only second to the best possible scenario of the world would be that we the people all come together and just do it ourselves. See, we're the best solution. All of us together combined are the very best solution to resolve all these problems and end wars once and for all. You know, end the violence. But for some reason, because we feel that our families have to have certain resources and we must comply to the system in order to be able to actually survive and take care of our families, then we, to a lot more greater extent than you would imagine, are basically feeding that same exact beast and not speaking out, not going against the grain, so to speak, so that we can keep our jobs and so we can keep our resources and access to programs and assistance and stuff like that from the government. But the reality is that we were our best resource all along. You know, I've got neighbors that bring me food every once in a while, and I do the same for them when it's available or whatever. I always try to help everybody that I can possibly help out, and they do the same for me. And that's the point I was trying to, you know, make, that, you know, we, the people, our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, we're the ones constantly helping each other out and running into danger to try to save each other and all that kind of stuff. But we're also the ones that either volunteer for the war machine or get basically sucked into that deal that we got to go over and bomb another nation. There were presidents. There was at least one president, John F. Kennedy, that talked about this big military industrial complex, this big corrupt machine behind the scenes that was running everything. And that they had vast resources and no accountability, and he wanted to bring that to light. Well, of course, if you look back in history, you can see how well that fared for him. Which is sad, because he was one of the voices of reason out there that I believe was truly trying to bring about, a real change in peace. Martin Luther King was another one. He talked about a lot of stuff. You know, he motivated a lot of people, and he had some good words. You know, there's those out there that would disagree with what he had to say, or, you know, not everybody's going to agree with everybody who, you know, is a voice of reason. I can get that. You know, we're all just people. We all got our different paths that we want to go on. But there were many of these, many, many throughout the history of people that standing up. Ron Paul, I believe, is one. Was out there talking about the corruption of the military-industrial complex and the deep state, you know, and how we should have been more like a Christian-style belief that we're only going to go into war when justified, only when justified. You know, a lot of people would disagree with that because there's history that says on the opposite side. But I'm not here to dispute and debate and argue about who was right and who was wrong. I'm just trying to say that, you know, with all the voices of reason out there, these voices of reason had been heard by the people in power or people of great finance or great resource. Had they have been heard by these people, and those people that had the money and the materials necessary to make things happen would have actually listened to those voices of reason, I honestly don't think that we would be in the position that we're in today. However, just because those folks that have the resources needed, the financial and political and all the different platforms for voices to be spoken on, just because that they haven't been able to resolve all these problems doesn't mean that we still can't. You know, I'm probably the foolish forever optimist guy. You know, I'm always thinking that there's always a way that we can do something. We can always find a solution, and we can always fix things. And even if, to the extent that things are the way that they are now, that we haven't went too far, that we could still, even all the way up to the last battle cry, still stop this and straighten this world out. I honestly believe that that was our true purpose. I believe that that is humanity's true purpose, is to figure all this out and to do it together. You know, it's like any piece of a puzzle. You know, without that one piece of the puzzle, you can't never get a full picture. You can't do it. It's just not possible. And with all the people that we have in this world, you imagine how many pieces of the puzzle are missing because... And now we have to wait for a new puzzle piece to be created or born into the world that, you know, will replace the one prior so that humanity has another chance. If you think about all the generations, we have had chance after chance after chance to resolve the issues that we find so dear to our hearts that are concerning to us. Nobody likes a starving baby. Nobody likes war. Nobody likes homelessness. Nobody likes sickness. You know, and, you know, unless you're just a plain old rotten evil person, you know, you wouldn't enjoy that kind of stuff. You would want to find resolutions to this to bring about harmony and peace, not just with ourselves, but nature and our environment. And we have, as far as I'm concerned, every single necessary answer, every single necessary bit of science and physics and resources to resolve every single problem in the world. But if I'm just one of those many voices of reason in the history of time that never really gets heard. You know, this platform we got, it's not a bad one. It's a good platform. You know, we've had our ups and downs as far as people not wanting us to say certain things. You know, we've had a rough road to maintain and even get where we're at today. But we're still not at the extent where this man had 40 million people that believed in his idea enough to support him. Enough to send this information viral. We haven't been able to reach that far for some reason. We've hit brick walls. We do some amazing things here. We talk about some amazing things. We talk about ways that we could resolve issues. And you would think that the world out there that is going through all of what they're going through would want to hear some voices of reason. You know, some common sense. We come together because we care. We come together in love, and we come together in respect, mutual respect for our differences and all this. And if we can do this on a small scale, imagine what would happen if we was to able to get that on a large scale. We can't keep repeating history. We all know that. And we can't just keep preaching to the choir. We all know that as well. And each and every one of us that show up here on a regular basis, we're always out there in our communities and with each other and doing and whatever we could possibly do. It's not always affordable, but when we can, we fix what we can fix. As we take this journey and try to bring other people on board to what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. So I honestly believe that we still have the capability of resolving the issues at hand. I still believe in the dream, and I honestly believe that we have a dream team here. You know, and we do a lot. Even though we've heard a lot of negativity about, you know, our show and what we do and, you know, that kind of stuff. But that's not going to deter us from actually finding the truth and fulfilling a goal that I believe honestly that we were meant to be, to do. And so with that said, folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you get a chance and you want to come over and say hi in the chat room, superchat.html at shazizradio.com. You slide down underneath all the chat rooms in there. You click on the People for People radio link and go over and say hi to those folks. And we went through an extreme amount of ups and downs and hassles to try to get this site to stay secure on the other side of that fence so that people would come visit us. And so that's one of the reasons why I asked, is there suppression? You know, is this just some mistake that I'm making myself and I can't get these rooms filled up, or is just everybody too busy, too tired, or too working or whatever? I don't know, but I do know that these podcasts are going to be available. They are available as we speak. We've got so many podcasts, we had to actually have two separate pages in order to put the podcast on there. But all of those are Voices of Reason and honorable knights from years back all the way up to the present. Hours and hours worth of people having conversations about how to fix this world. And these are just our voices here. You go to People for People Radio, you'll find more. You'll find more links. You'll find more podcasts. There are people all over the world on multiple different networks trying to do exactly what we're trying to do. Imagine a day when all of those could come together and we can raise our voices up and show the world that, yeah, we have what we need. We just got to stop relying on a system that pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, has dropped the ball. The education system, the legal system, the government, you name it. Corporations, banking industries, they've got the world exactly where they want the world. But is that the world that you want to live in? So I'll pose that question to my good friend Barbara. How do you think? Is that the world you want to live in?
I'm just thinking on this reasonable thing. Of course, I think we, you know, the voice of reason, for instance, what that definition is a person who influences others to act sensibly. And it seems to me like there's a lot of nonsense going on, you know, around the world. It seems to me like people are acting unreasonably. But I'm curious as to what leads that, you know, what is that? Yes, I want to live in a sensible world. I want to, of course, we giving solutions. We're talking about solutions all the time. I guess I go into that, okay, why are people unable to act sensibly or use common sense? You know, common, you know, refers to, you know, collective thought or collective think or collectiveness being together, you know, the common people or common sense or what, you know. I'm just looking at this because, you know, I'm just popping in here with you this morning and listening to you, and I mean, things are coming into my head. Like, I'm thinking, okay, why aren't people listening to someone that says, you know, a voice of reason, for instance? What happens when somebody does stand up and has a, you know, a voice where we want to look at, you know, something different than reacting, for instance, or, you know, being triggered or reacting to things or going, you know, like crazy people or whole hog into what I call the wolf pack syndrome, you know, where there is no reason, where people are acting unreasonably. You know, well, what the heck is going on? Because I see, you know, like you're saying, people aren't paying too much attention maybe to the solutions. Many solutions are being offered, and there are people who have solutions. So why aren't they on the top of the list? Why aren't these persons or circumstances or situations or offerings that people, you know, easily, you know, offer, put out and say, hey, you know, like in a circumstance where people are just reactive, what causes that? What causes people to lose their common sense, sensibilities to things? I guess you'd have to say, well, sensitive to the circumstance. I mean, I'm looking at that word sense, common sense. So you can take that, you know, pretty far as exploring what happens to the human mind or the human being, or how are we trained, for instance, to ignore common sense and go in the other direction, you know, which causes, you know, havoc and disruption and so on. Why aren't people so easily turning to these solutions, as you say, and coming together collectively in a common cause to help the circumstances that we are all realizing are difficult, challenging, and so wrong? You know, I think it's psychological stuff we're looking at, maybe, don't you think? I mean,
one of the examples that I was talking about earlier was the guy that he built 14 homes for homeless people, and people would ask him the questions, well, what about their health care? What about their education? What about their jobs? And in his mind, I'm sure he's like, I'm doing all I can do. What have you done to help them with their jobs? What have you done? That's, you know, he didn't say that, but I could see that that was a deal that, you know, if you're doing all that you can do, and like we're doing, we do a lot, all right? We don't have the financial resources to get out there and buy people things that they need. When we do have the capability, we do it. But we can't do it all. There's no way that one person or even one small group can do it all unless they are fortunate enough to have the finances and the resources and the backing of the masses. This always comes back to, no war is ever won by a couple people. It's all your brothers and sisters, the masses coming over there in overwhelming force. And even to that extent, they don't really win the war. I mean, they might beat the other side. It's just the terminology is what I'm trying to dance around here. Nobody ever wins a war. But without the amount of people coming together to drive the machines, to carry the weapons of war, to feed and doctor and all the different things that, you know, a military has, that infrastructure capability of, without all of those people to have a place in that system is weak. It can't do nothing. You know, that gun can't shoot itself. But if you motivate the people, you can get things done. You can get things accomplished. You know, Martin Luther King, for whatever anybody thinks about him, or even any other person like him, was able to motivate a bunch of people to, at the very least, gather together and march for peace. You know, have been great motivators throughout the history of time. And it's like, they're up, they're down, they're up, they're down. They get assassinated. You know, and here we are, we're trying to do pretty much the same thing, to uplift the spirits and to give people belief in themselves and to understand that they have things, they're more powerful than they believe in, that they are. And you see where I'm trying to go here?
I also feel that excuse me, there seems to be such a disconnect of people today that how can you really have a common or sensible response to things, common sense, or, you know.
Well,
I think people,
the system keeps them fighting.
Well, this is true. I mean, this is something that we realize that more and more, how people are now more than ever, you know, stepping out of this or being pulled out or jerked out, whatever you want to call it, acted like a bunch of jerks, you know, that there is no common connectedness. And if you have a commonality, it seems that the commonality is a negative more so than, you know, something positive. There's that energy there that I'm seeing, you know. Where is the unity? Where is our connectedness as a people? As, you know, the people. So there is that. You know, that's what's happening, is that we see that, you know, really rising up, that's causing a lot of confusion and a lot of questions. Well, what's going on? You know, why aren't people coming together and working towards solutions when there are so many solutions? So the question, why aren't people doing that? Well, then where are they spending their time and their energy? What are they being focused on? And it's obvious to me that they're being led to go in a different direction because, well, there's no belief in, you know, in free energy, for instance. You know, well, why is that? Why don't people believe in that? Why aren't people, you know, reaching out for that or even thinking about that? Wait, there has to be something better than this, you know. So what's going on? I guess I look at that like from a psychological perspective. What the heck has happened to the people? You know, and we can, well, we go then to, well, there's been generations and generations of authoritarian control over us, telling us what to believe, who to believe, and what not to believe. You know, what is the only solution? Well, is there only one solution to things? No, obviously there are other possibilities. There was all kinds of possibilities. I think you have to have something inside of you that says, like you, Chez, for instance, you say, wait, this, there has to be something more. There is something more. I believe there is something more. I believe there are more possibilities. I believe we can do better, right?
Yep.
So just looking at that, you know, I think there's two sides here to this. Always there are two sides. When people act in a certain way, it's like you say, there's a bully, okay? Well, nobody likes a bully, okay? So then you say, well, why is that person a bully? Why? What's going on with that person? You just don't beat up the bully because then you become a bully, or you just don't name call the bully. You don't hate the bully. Well, people do, but I'm saying you can look and say, wait a second, why is that person, what happened to that person that they became so crazy? What happened to that person that they have become a bully? What happened to that person? Because there is an answer, you know, but I don't think people search for those answers, just like they don't search for renewable energy or believe in there's another way, you know. So for me, it's sort of like all things are possible. And to me, I feel like everything has already been created. There is nothing, for instance, that we ourselves create. We just align with what is already available, what Creator, Great Spirit has already placed in this system. So that's just my thinking. Why are people so disconnected from that?
I don't know, but on connectivity, I wonder how many people realize that when you stand in front of a real big, beautiful tree, that below that earth is a massive, just the same size and sometimes even larger root system that is connected into the life force that we call water. It's all over the world. And so just those trees alone are so intertwined with each other that it's mind-blowing. And I just something simple like that, I don't think that a lot of people really realize that connection that we got. And the reason why that I see that people aren't connected to each other is because there's somebody constantly stepping between them and what it is that they're capable of doing, constantly pitting each other against each other and cutting those roots. You know, cutting those roots that were, when we were babies and we're all sitting in our cribs with the, you know, all these different colored children next to us, and we look at them like we're amazed. You know, we're not looking at them because of their differences. We're looking at them because, you know, they're interesting. They're other people, you know, and it's an amazing thing. But somewhere along the line, via the education system, those roots were cut. And we were told that that kid over there that you used to hang out with, he's different than you. He's not the same as you. You know? And depending on who really bought the lie, and they raise you, and they tell you, you got to be afraid of that person over there. He's different than you. He's not like you. You're better than him, or whatever, you know? And we've allowed this society and system, this system, to do this to us, and now we got all these different terminologies like racist and whatever, you know, and all these different terminologies, which when we were born, we weren't born racist. We weren't born hateful. We weren't born wanting to kill each other. We weren't born, you know, some people try to say humans are animals. I don't think so. I think animals act better than humans in most cases. You see amazing things from animals. You know?
No, I think that there's the other part of that is like, you know, in my understanding and what I have learned, is that the animals are teachers, were meant to be our teachers. And I think they're desperately trying to teach us. Like, you see photographs of animals that would ordinarily be, you know, predators upon each other, helping each other or coming together or sitting together. Or like I saw that amazing video of this very large bull elephant with its trunk was like turned up and it was a baby, you know, like a cub, a lion cub. He was carrying that lion cub across the road, and the mama was just walking right beside the elephant.
Wow.
That was just one example, but we have seen so many examples. And the animals were originally our teachers, you know, as well as nature, of course, was in relation to that. We have to learn from nature. As you're saying, beneath that tree, you know, beneath the earth, there's some miracles happening there that are just mind-blowing and extraordinary. If people would just stop a minute and listen or explore or be open to that, you know. So there it is, to be open to that. So why are people so closed? You know, I mean, I have the answer, you have the answer, I think we know, but we have to ask that question. So we have a puzzle here. Where is the sensibility of things? Where is the unity? You know, well, because we have been led to be, you know, the disunity is rising. Well, you have to say why. You just don't scream about it. You know, just getting upset and screaming about, well, people are crazy or people are off the wall or people are, you know, senseless or people are rude, crude, and evil and mean. Well, you don't just stop there. If you really have that question or that statement, you want to find out. It's like, be that explorer. Go further and deeper. That's why we say, well, we are researchers. We go down the rabbit holes because we want to know. I mean, I want to know. Maybe people don't care. Maybe they just take everything as they are, you know, receive it as factual and that's it. There's no questioning. There's no search. There's no longing for knowledge.
You know,
what is that?
A tree is basically only as strong as its roots, you know. If you start a family and you become that first root, and then you allow that family to vine out, so to speak, you know, and you pass those values on to your children, and they pass those values on to their children, and that tree above that family right there, it becomes so strong. And I think that all these people out here that are actually trying to do, you know, something positive, to be the voices of reason in a world that seems to have gone completely and utterly wrong, I think that those folks are planting the new seeds, like you guys always say, you know, being seed planters, and starting out a route, you know, and if they can just keep that system going, imagine, eventually you wouldn't be able to ignore that anymore.
Well, you know, we with our families, you know, I mean, we have to look at the generations before us and the system, the systematic, you know, breakdown of common sense or systematic brainwashing, you know, this has been going on for generations, but every once in a while somebody pops into a generation that remembers, you know, or that recalls the way things are meant to be or you know, were given us, you know, offered to us to become. You know, and so you look at seed planting, you know, we plant seeds, but meaning that, I'll just describe that a little bit, that came to me, and I wrote about this in one of my books, you know, over 30 years ago, that we are seed planters to kind of like understand ourselves and how we function here on this earth, is that we are seed planters. And with all the frustrations that we experience about people not getting it or people not waking up, well, so what came to me was that we have a power beyond our imagining, really, because we are all connected. So this is part of the Creator's Law of One, or the Universal Law. Universal means a connectedness, okay?
Yep.
We're not outside that law of Creator's Law. We're not outside of that. We may have forgotten it, but we are still functioning, either aware of it or not. Mostly, people are not aware of this universal connectedness, this universal law of creation, meaning that we are all connected. You know, the phrase Matakwe Oyasa means we are all related. Well, it's not so simple as, well, we are all related because we're people. No, it goes so much deeper. So you take a statement like Matakwe Oyasa, we are all related, you take that and you go further with it. Well, what does that mean? Well, in according to the Creator's Law of One, we are one in relationship to all of creation. Then, well, what does that mean? And how does that work? So there's where my mind goes, well, how does this work? Well, what happened to me was that I saw during a time of you know, what we call ambalacha in the Lakota tradition, which is a vision quest. You know, sometimes people say, well, hey, I'm going to go on a vision quest, you know. Well, what does that mean? But the vision quest, you know, is a sacred, it's basically a sacred ceremony and a sacred way of seeking truth and connectedness to Creator and to all of creation. So it's deeper than just going out there and wanting a vision, you know, in your mind, well, I'm going to, you know, some great spirit or whatever it is going to show itself to me so I can talk about it. I had this vision. It's so much deeper than that. It is so profound. So what I saw in many of the times I went on Vision Quest over many years is just to stand there on the mountain 4 days, 4 nights in what we call, there's an altar and we're holding the sacred item of the Chinipa Wakan, which is the sacred pipe, is that you go there and you humble yourself. You humble yourself. You don't have any agenda. You don't have any expectation. Hey, give me a vision so I can share everybody I had a vision. No, you go there and you humble yourself and you meet yourself there because there you are all by yourself on that mountain, no food, no water, 4 days, 4 nights. So what happens to you? You know, you don't go there with arrogance because something will happen to you for sure that you're not going to be happy with. It's the arrogance, the attitude, you know, that expectation, well, I'm going to get a vision. You know, so what happened to me was I was given this beautiful vision, the web of life. Literally, I saw the web of life. Now, we talk about the web of life, and it's just a statement. There is a web of life. Well, what is that web of life, or the sacred web of life, we call it? It is an actual, it's actually an existence of fine filaments, energetic filaments, threads of frequencies of life connected to everything. It's a web. It's extraordinary. And I saw that. I was given that vision, which helped me understand how we are all connected. Matakwe Oyasa, we are one. with everything, not just people. Yeah, we all have the same, we have a heart, we have a heartbeat, our hearts all beat together. We all have, you know, certain organs, we have two eyes, two ears, we're all the same on that way, but take it deeper, how are we really all the same? You know, when we talk about, well, I want peace in the world, I want us to gather the solutions that Creator gave us to make a better world for everyone, not just me, not just my family, because we, all the people, all of humanity, are connected. If your people over there on the other side of the world are having problems and issues and things are going on and they're devastated for whatever reason or lost, guess what? That is going to affect us because we are all connected. You may think, well, it's not my problem, but it is your problem. It is everyone's issue, what is going on. So how are we all connected? So you have to stretch your mind and realize that we are seed planters. And what does that mean? It means that your thoughts plant a seed. It means that your emotions have a frequency and energy that also emanates, you know, that out into the world and plants a seed. Your words, everything about us, it's pretty extraordinary if you think about it. We have a power beyond our imagining, you know. And so what is that power? That power is either to create or destroy. It's either to bring, you know, positive or negative. That's amazing if you think about it. So we are not hopeless. We are not helpless. We have more power than we can imagine. We have been told that we are powerless. We have been told that the authorities will tell us what to do, how to be, and what to live, and what to aspire to. That's the brainwashing system. That's why people don't have that inner will to connect with the solutions, because they're told there are no solutions, you know. So as a seed planter, what happens when you have an energy or a frequency that is a loving or compassionate frequency? That's a powerful seed. You don't have to get on a soapbox, Shaziz, and scream your head off. We don't have to do that and say, hey, you people, we need to change. Things are really beautiful and amazing, and here are solutions. No. What you do is what they say is peace begins with you, love begins with you, compassion begins with you.
Yep.
When we function in this world, we are seed planting, either positively or negatively. So when you plant a seed in your garden, you know, like, let's talk about that. As a seed planter, what do? The garden is waiting for you. You go and you till the garden, you work with it, you give it everything that it needs. You put that seed in the ground, and I don't know what you do, but in our way, what we do is we pray. We offer a prayer for that little seed that's coming into the Mother Earth. And we know that the Mother is the one, okay, that we need to connect with as well. She's the one that gives us the fruits of life. She is the one who nurtures us. She is the one who feeds us. So the Mother is very important to connect with. That's a relation. That's one of our relations. So we go to the garden, and we place that seed into the Mother's, you know, womb, you want to call it that, I guess. And so then we pat the little dirt over there. We water it. We, you know, talk to that little seed, and we walk away. We plant another seed, and then we plant another seed. We get on with our day. We don't stand over the seed we planted, screaming at it, saying, come on now, you gotta grow, you gotta change, you gotta do this, whatever, you have to wake up. We don't do that with a seed, like a fruit seed or vegetable seed, right? So a seed planter, what we're talking about is you plant the seed in the along the web, the atmosphere, in the ethers. You plant your seed with your voice, with your love, with your compassion. With everything that you have, you are that vibrational seed. So that seed goes out, and guess what? It will land somewhere. It's got to land somewhere because this is a big universe here. It will land somewhere, and eventually it will start to grow. You know, like Johnny Appleseed walked around the lands, and he just threw out apple seeds. He didn't stop there and stay there. Why did he do that? That man had faith. He had a great faith that when he tossed those seeds out onto the land, that they would grow and bear fruit.
Yep.
Well, that's the same thing. We have to come to that. We are seed planters. You plant a seed of love and compassion and healing and caring, and then you have to have faith to know that seed will grow. It will touch someone through the sacred web, They could be across the world, but your vibration, your frequency as that seed planter will touch something and will grow and be taken up by someone else. That's how this works.
Well, I believe that as well. You know, it's unfortunate that those folks that only have faith in the system, they seem to be the ones that suffer the worst. And what I mean by that is, one of the examples that I could give is that, you know, with the medical industry, we've sat around and we've researched all kinds of things, all kinds of alternatives to the way that the modern day medical system works, and there are other options available. Are they all the right option? We don't know, because nobody's really done, you know, an in-depth research and testing of all these different things, except for the people who initially brought it to the table. But the mainstream medical industry doesn't even touch it. They don't look at it, but they do basically terrible things in the name of trying to heal people. And those folks have so much faith in the medical industry and not enough faith in what nature's already provided, and they usually don't fare so well. You know, you can't kill off somebody's immune system with radiation and expect the body to heal itself. You can't do that, but they still do. You know, when your hair's falling out, that ought to be a sign that what you're doing is wrong. You know, and you're sick and you're miserable. That ought to be a sign that the medical industry is doing something wrong. You know,
well, I saw this photograph last week that just broke my heart, and it just made me really kind of like angry because of that system that you're talking about. It was a photograph a parent took. Now, this was supposed to touch people's hearts about the loving little sister for her brother. I guess she may have been about 8 years old, and her brother was, I think, 5. And this little boy is, you know, when you've been so sick, you know what it is, like you're sick, you're hanging on the toilet bowl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there, you know, with some kind of flu or whatever, you're just hanging over that toilet bowl. You know that feeling, what that's like, what's going on with you. Well, that little girl was standing there with her brother, who was hanging over the toilet bowl. He had no hair, he was completely bald due to radiation, chemotherapy. And she had her hand on his back. Well, that was supposed to be the sweetest photograph to touch people's hearts. Well, it made me angry because these people, these parents, accept this, what is being done to their child by the system that is destroying this little baby. I mean, it was just, so I was angry at the fact that they're posting this photograph because it's showing their daughter how compassionate she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just outraged. I'm thinking, this is really sick. This is tragic. This little child, this little 5-year-old boy is hanging over that toilet and in that position that, you know what it's like when you're just ill and what that feels like, what's going on with your whole body. And there he is. He has no hair. And I was just like outraged at the system. And these parents are not outraged at the system, at what's going on, what they're doing. They're killing their child. You know, this child has lost all his hair, and his insides are, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And this is okay. It's not okay.
No, it's definitely not. There's a lot of people that needlessly suffer when there are other alternative things available. I mean, my deal is like this. Whether it be the education or the medical industry, you should put all available options on the table. Everything. If you're going to teach evolution, you need to teach creation. You need to teach both if you're going to teach any at all. And when it comes to medical, you have the medical industry standard, and you have the non-standard, which would be the, what do they call it, homeopathic or natural cures?
Natural.
Yeah. So you need to put all those on the table. Say, look, we don't, as doctors, we don't necessarily know much about these right here, but these are research papers on these particular natural medicines, and this is what we actually do, and these are the side effects, and both vice versa. These are all your options. All right, now we'll sit down and we'll try to together work on the best available options between these two. And to me, that would be a responsible thing for a doctor to do. But the doctors don't do that.
Well, we as human beings, as a sovereign being, a human being, a person, has the right, okay, the right to determine their own course in life. But that's no longer true. You know, and when it comes to the medical system, you know, it's a big business. We know that it's a big business. Cancer is one of the biggest business that is going on. And we have the fear factor, where we've been told that the doctors are gods, okay? The doctors know best. And the system is the wall that you have. Their system, that's it. So, you know, recently there's this thing going on, I noticed on Facebook. It's a big thing in the news recently about, and this is only one of many stories, but I'm talking about this because of just recent, this boy, his cancer, you know, he was going through his chemo, and his parents realized, they had common sense to realize, they're killing my child. This, you know, system, this what's happening to him, being chemotherapy, radiated, and all that stuff, is killing my child. And they, you know, obviously, as a person has the right to do, started to research alternatives. And they determined, as parents, for their child, excuse me, to basically remove their child from what they believed was a system that was actually doing harm and killing their child. So this became a court case, okay? This was a big thing. So, of course, the Child Protective Services step in, okay, and take control. And they remove that child, okay, from their parents. This is what we're living under, people. They remove that baby from their parents' care. And common sense, talk about common sense.
Yeah.
Okay, to seek out alternatives, which they began to truly believe in, due to research and what they saw, was going to help their baby, their child. And what happened was, so I guess what the system showed, you know, how they look, I guess, for markers to show that there's still cancer there. So over time, what happened was this child, actually, the markers had disappeared. So there was no longer any cancer cells in this boy. But that did not matter. The system wanted to continue their program that wasn't over yet, to continue to give chemotherapy and radiation to this boy. There were no markers any longer to show that there was cancer cells in this boy. But the system, the insanity of the system, they had to go through with their program that was already set up. This is what's going to happen to you. This is what we're going to do to you. So this blew my mind, because there were no markers of cancer in that boy, but the system still took him from his parents and continued this program of chemotherapy for that child.
Well, and that's what really bothers me, first off, that they would actually take the rights of that parent away. They don't have the authority to do that. They gave themselves the authority to do that. And the fact that...
gave them authority to do that.
Yeah, we're basically...
We've complicit.
Complying. Yeah.
We are complicit. We have to take responsibility.
We have to stand up and voice our, you know, our disapproval when we really disapprove. But,
and you know, to do this alone is a tough road, because there you are alone against the system. That's why we people, we need to come together. We need to unify around in this particular arena. And in many areas, we have to come together. We have to wake up to this, to what's really happening, that we are completely under control by a system that really does not have our best interests at heart.
Yeah. Troy in the chat room over there, People for People, asked me a question about infrasound pollution. For people who don't know what that is, It's a low frequency noise. The frequency range from about 10 hertz to 200 hertz has been recognized as a special environment noise problem, particularly to sensitive people in their homes. It was shown that exposure to low frequency sound may alter the inner ear. All of this, we do live in a lot of noise pollution because we're basically still kind of new at the whole high technology things, and it'd be years down the line before somebody actually realizes that people are really sensitive to things that other people can't even hear. You know, it's like the difference between one person's fingers down a chalkboard. Some people, that doesn't even bother them in the least, but other people have such a powerfully visual mind that it sends chills up their spine every time somebody even says about running your fingers down a chalkboard. So there's a lot more ways that we're actually connected than people really realize. When you talk about frequencies all the time, it makes perfect sense to me because of the way that energy even travels to begin with. But just as something as simple as the hairs on your arms, you know, being brushed up against, your body has this this sensitivity that when you lose one sense, another one is automatically compensated for and amplified so that you can still get by in the world, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. You know, the creation of the person, of what it is that we actually are. But we're floating around in a sea of energy, almost like in a fishbowl, so to speak, because of all the moisture and water and air and the trees connected to the massive water tables. And, you know, everything on this earth is kind of connected. And energetically speaking, we're all touching each other. I mean, that kind of sounds weird, but it's the truth. And so there
are... Well, it's our frequency. It's our frequency. Our frequency touches everything.
Yeah.
And so, it's invisible, but it can be measured.
And it can be felt. You can be sensed.
Yeah, so for instance, there are there are healing, I don't know if you've heard of the Rife machine.
Yeah.
But there are frequencies, there are attuned vibrations like 432 hertz and 528 hertz, megahertz, and we have all these frequencies that, you know, sound frequencies and vibrational frequencies that can be, you know, positives and negatives.
Yeah.
But we have, like, the Rife machine. I just popped this into you.
Yeah, so, I'm fully aware of the Rife machine. I've talked about that for a long time because he was able to go in there and target specific bad bacteria while leaving one sitting right beside it in perfect health.
So, we talk about vibration and frequency. So, this article is basically saying, to start, let us say, that everything is vibration. And that is a fact. That's scientifically proven. Okay? That includes us, too. Frequency, vibration. So, basically, like from the chair that you may be sitting in to the paper or the mouse you are holding, everything is in a state of vibration. So, it's not a new idea.
No.
Basically, the ancient people, the mystics or so on, have known this for millennia. So, but now the scientists are beginning to understand this and agree.
The thing is, even though they agree, there's still it's still a taboo because there's certain people or entities, I guess that you'd say, that would not want us to know where our true roots actually came from, or, you know, what our true potential really was. It's that whole, they know us coming together is dangerous to the system. They know that. And so there's always some way to keep us divided, whether it be the red team or the blue team, you know, or whatever, and all these different types of terminologies that are literally set out to be, when spoken, you can feel the negativity in that. You don't want that negativity describing you, so you, oh no, I'm not a racist, I'm not this, you know, I'm not that. And you want to be part of everybody, you want everybody's approval, but these words are actually used as a negative power source to control what it is that you're saying, control what it is that you're doing. And these folks have had years, if not decades or millenniums, to literally learn the things that you're talking about, but not put it out there to the average Joe. What if the possibility that we are more powerful and we can actually do things and say things and make them actually come to pass? They wouldn't want you to know that. They're not going to teach that in school.
Well,
you know?
Because there's no money in that.
No. The money
there's no gain. There's no power. There's no money.
The money is from being able to keep you fighting amongst each other. As long as you out there tearing something up, somebody can sell you something to replace it, you know? And that includes yourself, you know? You tear your body up. Hey, you got the doctor you can go to, right? No. The doctor wants to put radiation in you and make you sicker than you was when you got there. And it costs a lot of money. Folks, somebody out there, actually look up the price of chemotherapy. Look it up. And tell me if you, out of your pocket, could right now afford to go pay for radiation treatment. Seriously. If you ain't got insurance, which is part of the system, tell me if you got a piggy bank big enough to pay for those treatments. All of what they say you're going to need. Look up the price of chemotherapy. Look up the price of the radiation pills that they have out there. And then look on the opposite side of the spectrum and see what nature has provided. What type of different things that nature has naturally done that you can get for free. If you know where to look, there's food in your yard. There's a website out there that used to be out there at least called eattheweeds.com. Teaches you about foraging. Teaches you about different medicines that are in the earth, right there in your yard. And the Native Americans, you know, indigenous people, whatever word you want to use, they knew this. And they put this information out there. But somehow or another, those voices of reason who actually, over, you know, decades or whatever, hundreds of thousands of years or whatever, you know, these folks learned trial and error of ways to test to see what things were safe and how things actually did, and they had this valuable information that the medical industry initially was based off of. This different types of medicine that, you know, you get plants and you can make, you know, different types of medicines out of it. And they got that information somewhere. But after at some point in history, the system realized, you know, we can't heal everybody. If we do, then we ain't going to make no money. And that's the truth. That sounds like the biggest tinfoil hat wearing thing to say, but that's the truth. The God's honest truth is we could cure the common cold if we wanted to. But there ain't no profit in it. And we can cure starvation. That's the easiest one because we got all the resources necessary to feed multitudes times more people that's actually on this planet. And then some. But why? Why is it not being done? Why are these things that we care about as individuals, homelessness, sickness, starvation, you know, in fact, somebody can't even get some fresh water, why aren't these things resolved? We're in the year 2019, all right, getting ready to go into the year 2020.
They have all the answers already. They know really what can heal. They know the system. They know the body. They know that we are beings of resonance, energy, frequency. That every organ, every bone, all the tissue, every system within us is basically has a frequency, a vibration, and energy. So when you are in a state of health, for instance, your body puts out an overall harmonic. It's a frequency of health. But when a frequency that is counter to your health sets itself up in the portion of your body, this creates disharmony, okay, in the system. This is a sacred system we're talking about, and that's where dis-ease comes in. So why I call it a sacred system? We are sacred. Why do I say that we are sacred? So I'm just going to say this quote here from Dr. Leonard Horowitz. He said, you, meaning us, are a digital bioholographic precipitation, crystallization, miraculous manifestation of divine frequency vibrations forming harmonically in hydrospace. That's how he sees us. And I feel that's exactly right. We are a divine frequency. We were created. Our source is divine. You want to say God, you want to say Great Spirit, it does not matter. That source, the God source, okay, is a divine frequency, okay, which created us, created everything. If you look at nature, you see its connectedness. You see it's the harmonics within nature, all of nature. Okay, you see now they see through scientists' eyes, they see the sacred geometry. Sacred. They use the term sacred geometry, which is everything is in harmony and balance as sacred. That is nature, everything. Well, we are nature as well. So we were created, in harmony and balance and with, I guess I'd say also unconditional love, because that's a high frequency. Unconditional love is a high frequency. So if you don't love yourself, if your mind, if you have a dialogue with yourself that constantly berates yourself, you are creating disharmony within the harmonized system and every organ and every bone and every tissue. Our mind, okay, like the monkey mind, I say, has a mind of its own, and it absorbs different information from everywhere and plays and overplays itself like a broken record, and we are trained to dislike ourselves. We are trained to hate ourselves. We are trained that way. That's the indoctrination, deliberate indoctrination to bring dis-ease and sickness.
It's also amazing how when you're thinking negative of yourself, how it literally not only has a physical response in you, but all of those around you, because, it's like that whole something simple as walking into a room and smiling, that energy that you just expelled into that room, people, you walk into any room and try it for yourself, just go in there and just start smiling. Some people will start saying, oh, what's wrong with you? Are you on drugs? Are you crazy or whatever? But the longer you smile and don't say anything or do anything else, just stand there and smile, you'll notice that the whole doggone room can't help but repeat that action. It's amazing. And that's power. That's just one person.
It is.
Imagine 100 people walking in there.
I think a missing piece here with a lot of people is they are basically indoctrinated into the system, number one. So they believe in the system.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about that system that is the lie, the systems of lies and control, the factions that, the greed, okay, the money machine, the greed, the controlling factor. That's the system I'm speaking about, the authoritarian system that we are indoctrinated in from the time we're little. Because when we're born pure. We're born this little sacred being with the spirit embodied within us. That spirit embodied within us is connected energetically, frequency-wise, to the source, which is God. You can say God, okay, which is the divine frequency that created this creation from unconditional love and joy. If you look at things, if you go out in nature, nature will fill you with joy, and that joy brings health. That joy brings harmony into your system. Okay, when you have a great love for someone, when you love your child, for instance, okay, that love emanates out from you and brings that child joy, but it also, you also receive. It's like a healer. When a healer heals another person, they also receive that healing. Why does that happen? Because as a healer, I am not the healer, I am a conduit. I am like a link. That's what happens. You link into the source of healing, that frequency, because you believe in the frequency of healing. You believe in healing. That's why people pray, because they believe in prayer. They believe in miracles. That's a powerful frequency. So this is what we're dealing with, because people have to realize we are beings of energy and frequency. We have a resonance. We resonate with these frequencies. We are naturally healthy and balanced and joyous and awesome, amazing, extraordinary human beings. But we are stuck in the system that tells us the opposite, that tells us we must rely on the authorities if we get sick. So we don't listen to our bodies, we don't pay attention, we don't sit a while and even ask the body, you know, or listen to what the body needs. The body, you know, has a resonance, it has a frequency, a vibration, and it will talk to you. You will receive information if you just pay attention. You know, to understand this a little bit, what is the mechanism for healing? Resonance. That's the mechanism for healing, resonance. So, in other words, to explain that, when two systems are oscillating at different frequencies, there is an impelling force called resonance that causes the two then to transfer energy from one to another. This is science, but this is creation. When two similarly tuned systems vibrate at different frequencies, then there's another aspect of this energy transfer called entrainment, which causes them to line up and to vibrate at the same frequency. I mean, this is extraordinary when you really start to know who we are as human beings, what happened to us, how this system works, all of creation, how this was created to be perfection. You know, I call it the superior, you know, the superior intelligence, you know, that divine frequency. We are all part of that. We're not outside of that. So we have, today we have, the world is bombarded with electromagnetic impulses, okay, from cell phones, microwaves, you know, and yes, researchers are now really fearing that this may be the cause of increased cancer risks, you know?
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. So we have to figure out how are we going to help ourselves to be more in harmony and balance. Our mind has a lot to do with this. What we believe in has a lot to do with this. We are not helpless. You know, that's why people believe in prayer, for instance, and miracles have happened through that belief. You really have to believe in order for that to function correctly.
Well, I believe that as well. Mind's powerful. I'm trying to find a list of people in history that were basically voices of reason that you would have thought the masses would have listened to these people throughout history, that they might have changed the world for the better.
Well, Rife is one of them. He created this machine. So just to share with you, for instance, the frequency known as the miracle frequency is the 528 hertz frequency. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Because why is that? Because it has a capacity to heal and repair the DNA within our bodies. It's the exact frequency that has been used by genetic biochemists. 528, that's what it's called. This is a frequency, and it is love, basically. This frequency. Think of that. And we've been talking about how powerful the frequency of love is. Well, here it is right there for you. The 528 hertz frequency is known as the miracle frequency. And it is the frequency of love. So, okay, so low frequencies. I've been talking about this till I'm blue in the face for years. Low frequencies and frequencies that are out of balance cause illness. That's the power that we have. Or high frequencies, like the frequency of love, is healing. That's the power that we have been given. So if your frequencies are low, like anger, rage, self-loathing, disgust, jealousy, hatred, greed, those are low frequencies. If you are that person who holds these low frequencies, you are the first one to get hit with the illness. Okay? So if you use frequencies, if you understand these frequencies as a healing tool, basically what you're doing is you are correcting the imbalances within your own self that create disease. This is why we have to be careful about what we believe in and what we think and the words that we use, because we are either creating and manifesting healing, or imbalance, illness, dis-ease. Parasites, they can kill parasites with frequencies.
Yep. I couldn't find a list of, voices of reason in history, but what I did find is 35 greatest speeches in history. But the thing about, I posted a link inside there, the thing about some of these greatest speeches in history, not all of them were for peace. You know, not all of them were for making our world a better place. You know, a few of them said, you know, like Winston Churchill, we shall fight on the beaches. You know, he's talking about...
Right, well, they use war, you know, the word peace. We're going to go to war for peace.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, folks? Doesn't to me.
Peace never come from the end of a barrel of gun or the edge of a sword. You know, you might get somebody to comply and be peaceful out of fear, but that's not peace.
You're breaking up.
I said you might be able to get somebody to, you know, comply with the violence and, you know, all that, but that's not peace. You know? You still there, Barbara?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Yeah, listen, I have to go further with this link, and I did pop it into the chat if you people are interested. You know what's going on here? Talking about frequency. Music. Musical notes. This is creation. Think of this. Musical notes have a different frequency, and each one of the musical notes are linked with our physicality. Not only that, but emotional and physical, personality, adrenals, thyroid, parathyroid, kidneys, liver, bladder, small intestine. Everything about our body has a musical note and has a frequency. This is extraordinary if you think about this. This is creation, you know, that is awesome and stunning to me. So the function of the body has a every function of our bodies has a musical note that relates to a frequency. So you have to look at this link if you're interested in healing and harmonizing yourself and changing your frequency. You know, for instance, the body, the physical body of the bone structure, the musical note of the bone structure within each one of us, you, me, everyone who's listening, and everyone in the whole world, is AB. And the frequency is 418.3. Okay? And it goes on and on and on. The colon, the gallbladder, the pancreas, everything has a musical note. Think of that, how wise and smart and brilliant and awesome Creator set this up to be this way.
Well, it's amazing because there's a lot of songs out there, and even those speeches that I talked about, that the way that they're delivered, your words are so incredibly powerful because of the tone at which you deliver it, and then the power and the way you project that energy from the way you're speaking to people. You know, these 35 greatest speeches, not all of them were for peace, but nonetheless, they were able to, you know, move entire crowds full of people, entire nations to go to war with one another. And that in itself is an example of what you just talked about. You know, if you got songs that I get, there's songs that I listen to that literally nauseate me. You know, make me sick to my stomach. But there are songs.
Deliver you.
Huh? What'd you say?
Okay. I said there are songs. I don't listen to that music because they do make me nauseous. They do affect me. And I know that that's not... that's a big sign that I must not listen to that music. I know because I have a connectedness to, you know, to that creation, the harmony of creation, the earth, the mother earth, and nature. You know, these things go against nature. This certain type of music is violent. The tone, the frequency, the cadence of this type of music is damaging. It's damaging to your mind, to your body, and to your spirit.
Yeah.
And so you have to question, because that a lot of that music comes from rage. Rage is a very low frequency. You know, it really is a damaging frequency. It's not a joyous frequency, rage. It's not joy to be around rage.
Well, these folks out there, especially politicians, they've learned the power of words, and they use and manipulate the power of your spirit and those words to, you know, inspire or motivate you, sometimes to even go against your own beliefs. Yeah, we got to go to war for peace. What? How's that work? But nonetheless, because they understand that, they are able to use that not just with spoken words, but with written words.
Visuals. Everything affects us. You know, the thing that amazes me about frequency and the fact that we are connected through frequency is the way frequency works is that a low frequency, a vibration of low frequency, will pull your frequency down to its level. This is pretty stunning if you think about it. It's like when people suddenly wake up or start to feel, every time I'm around that person, I feel lousy.
Yeah.
That's because there's a frequency that person is emanating that is a darker or lower or damaging frequency. Their thoughts, their words, you know, people who are negative people, like we were told, stay away from those people. Because it just doesn't feel good to be around, but energetically, frequency-wise, resonance is affecting your frequency. So you say, birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
My
dad used to say that all the time.
And that's for the positive and the negative. So you have a bunch of, that's what the wolf pack syndrome is. This was suddenly somebody is energetically affecting everyone's frequency because they have a low hate frequency. Say they have a violent, low, hateful frequency, and they're all riled up. Well, their frequency is basically pounding at you, and you step into that, you're drawn into that same frequency, that then everybody is all together, and that birds of a feather flock together, and then they all start attacking something else. That's the wolf pack syndrome. How does that happen? It's all about frequency. You know, people know, a lot of people know about mind control, for instance. They know how to turn people. They know how to twist people. Politics are good at that. They know how to get people riled up. They know how to, what are they getting them riled up against? Another person who has another perspective, for instance. Okay, so they use hate words. They use hate speech. They use violence. They use tactics of, you know, attack them, they're bad. And so on and so forth. I'm just saying, so we have to be really aware and alert about what is going on. How we are being affected, mind controlled, controlled physically, emotionally, and in every aspect. So Gaz says here, H2O, very important, not the chemical soup from a faucet tap. H2O has a charge of 0.6 of a volt. The body has a charge of 0.6 of a volt. Pure, clean water is the first need of the body for healing. Absolutely. You are so right.
I'm surprised that I've seen there's a Jesus is one of the greatest speeches. He's number 33 on the list of greatest speeches on that link. I didn't even notice that earlier. But worthy excerpts of what he said is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those are just a few of the deals that was talked about in 33 A.D. in Jerusalem on the Sermon on the Mount with a man called Jesus. That's pretty wild.
You know? I'm surprised it's number 30, but...
It's 33.
33. Yeah. 33 degrees, it's masonry, oh my God.
So,
think of that.
Yeah, you know, numbers actually do matter, but... I'm just pointing it out. Martin Luther King was number 34, and you know, there was just a lot of people whether you believe they were messengers or divine entities or people here on a mission to try to send humanity in the right direction, there were a lot of voices of reason that, in my view, a lot of people heard, a lot of people took to heart, but the majority of the world, too distracted by the system that we have had the displeasure of being a part of all these years, they didn't get the message or something. And so the message kept coming, time and time again, from different names, different places, different people. The same message kept being repeated to humanity, giving them time and time again, one more chance to figure out what it is that we're, our true purpose is, why we're here. And I believe that the rewards of what we could literally accomplish if we decided are beyond what you would call a utopia or a heaven on earth. I believe that the ultimate reward for humanity finally reaching that great stage of enlightenment to we all get it. You know, war's got to go, sickness has got to go, death and destruction and all that is connected to it. The diseases and the homelessness and the starvation, all of which we are powerful to resolve those problems if we choose to do so. But the key is that the only way that we can ever accomplish this on such a grand scale would be to come together on that same grand scale and resolve these with all the energy that we have combined. We could do it, Barbara. We could honestly do it. You know? And the system that we're fighting against, it knows that. It's so incredibly, its roots are huge. So there's this big, giant, black tree above all of us, which at some point appears to be giving us shade. But what it's really doing is blocking us from the tree of life that we should be connected to. You see what I mean? We're being basically separated from what our true potential, our true energy really is. And those of us who are here with the voice of reason trying to uplift the rest of the people and say, hey, look, here's the truth, check it out. There it is right there. Here's the solution, check it out. That big dark tree spreads another root and tries to basically, I'm visualizing this like two trees with massive roots, basically fighting for domination, if that makes any sense. You got this big giant blackness, and you got this big, beautiful, bright as all creation tree, and they're fighting for us, against us, at the same exact time. I hope that don't sound like a bunch of babbling, but that's the best way that I can explain it from my mind as I see it. There's an evil in this world that just, it's unexplainable. But at the same side, there's a goodness in this world that if ever could get a strong root system and become that family that we were actually meant to be, that other tree wouldn't make it. What do you think?
Well, I'm talking about the healing of the water here, the structure. People are talking about distillers and so on and so forth, and I'm saying that we have the ability to heal water without any machine, actually. I mean, without any other, addition. People are using water distillers, which is good, okay, but we have the capacity to heal water through our words, through the frequency that we use, and that has been proven. You cannot argue with the proof. It's a scientific proof now, and we have known this forever in our tradition, in our way, that our words, even our ceremonies, and there are certain water ceremonies, for instance, that have been known to change the molecular structure of corrupted water back to its original frequency. This is a fact. This is known. This is proven. So, yeah, buy a distiller. You could put money into that. But you also maybe need to use the tools of words. So just the word thank you so much or gratitude or I love you changes the molecular structure of anything. It changes the molecular structure that we hold. It changes the molecular structure of water. Water is everywhere. Water is in everything. This is the power that we have. So you can spend money on a distiller if you want. You can do that. But you also have a power to say thank you to that water. I love you. Thank you. I'm so grateful. This is proven. Those words are proven to heal the corrupted, polluted water. It has been scientifically proven now. There's no argument against it.
Well, it's amazing how water is probably the most miracle of all the substances on this world. I mean, it has the capability of nature mixing in just the perfect amount of minerals and vitamins to give us a healthy body. And we don't look at water the way that we actually should. If your body's three quarters water, the earth is three quarters covered in water, that'll tell you something. But nonetheless, if your body's three quarters water, and that water is out of balance of the minerals in there, if you got a sodium deficiency, somehow your body craves salt. It just knows what it needs, just like nature knows what you need to begin with. And so when you distill water, you take out all those vitamins and minerals that were in that water naturally. We're not talking about polluted water, but we're if you could actually go back and get a glass of water from the dawn of creation that was in its perfection, the miracle elixir, you know, some people think they call it the fountain of youth, and it might actually, they talked about in the Bible and other books out there as far as that goes about people living anywhere from 500 to 900 years. That's a heck of a long time to live. And at what point did the system all become corrupted that we started dying earlier, diseases that just made absolutely no sense? You see what I mean?
I kind of think that because water is a healing creation, water itself is healing, that they deliberately started to pollute the water, you know, and make us sick through the water and many things.
Yeah, now you've got unnatural things like chlorine and fluoride being put in city waters, and they wonder why people are becoming ill, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So the point is that everything in original creation has a frequency of harmony and balance. Okay, over time, that harmony and balance in nature has been corrupted and disrupted. But there are ways, like I'm saying, that we can reinstate the original frequency, the original, commonality of connectedness, of harmony and balance, through our words, through our thoughts, through our beliefs, through our prayers and ceremony and so on. This is ancient knowledge. This is nothing new, but people don't, they can't stretch their minds to this, you know. They don't believe it because they're told that it's crazy. They're told that it's weird. They're told that it's impossible. They're told the opposite of what would be helpful and nurturing to us as self-healing. We are given the gift to self-heal, you know, but we turn instead to the system. The system says, that's impossible. That's crazy.
The same system also did studies on the placebo effect where they give both people a sugar pill and one person really believes that they got a medicine that's going to cure whatever ails them, and for some reason, they get cured.
Well, the thing to wrap your mind around is that your words are powerful. You know, when somebody says to you from their heart, they look at you and they look in your eyes and they say to you from their heart, I love you. How does that feel? Okay, what is the feeling, the sensation that gives you? That sensation, that feeling is a frequency. And the words, I love you, are a very powerful frequency. And you receive that and you feel that frequency. Your whole body feels differently. If someone looks at you in their, with their eyes and they say, I hate you, you disgust me, guess what? That's another frequency, and your body resonates with that frequency, drops into that awful feeling, you know, and that disrupts and corrupts the harmony and the balance within your own system. Every one of your cells, the bones, the kidney, everything is suddenly dropped into that frequency of sadness, despair, sorrow, grief, you know, even anger. This is what we're talking about. We are beings of energy and frequency. We have all been created that way for a purpose, for a reason. We're not just some solid mass and blob of, you know, blood, bones, and whatever, and muscle. Every part of our bodies, we were created as a frequency and energy, originally in harmony and balance. And when the corruption started, everybody started to get out of balance. Their mind started to get out of balance. The body started to get, which affects our spirit. Our spirits are suffering, the spirit within us, you know? Mm-hmm. So this is a simple puzzle here to look at. But you have to know yourself as a sacred being first. But are you ill? Are you out of order? Okay, are you experiencing an imbalance? Then you have work to do. And you have the ability and the tools to set your frequency back into harmony and balance. How do you talk to yourself? What are the words you use? What do you think? What are you thinking? These are powerful frequencies. In fact, not only you, but your family, your immediate family, I call it your immediate universe, and then emanate out through that web, that existing sacred web, out into touching everybody else. That's how we have the power to either create peace and harmony in the world or destruction.
Well, earlier in the chat room, Mermaid made a comment that literally, I'll just read it out and then I'll read my response. It says, Shaziz, you have uplifted my spirit many times. I love listening to you speak from the heart, so you are making a difference from my perspective. And like really, it sent a powerful energy towards me. I said, Mermaid, you just brought tears of joy to my eyes and warmed my heart. Thank you. That's how powerful words are. You know, I can't emphasize that enough.
Well, our minds. Angel says mind of matter is a brilliant thing, but it has its limitations. And I just say to Angel, we are the only ones who bring limitations. That's our doubt. Okay, we are the ones that create the limitations. Because if you believe in your whole self, within your whole self, that there are all manner of possibilities, that is a powerful frequency.
Well,
then you align with all those possibilities, but you have to align yourself with the highest divine possibilities that are part of this creation. Or you align yourself with the worst things, because that's part of creation too.
When Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and tell it to move, and it would surely move. Now, there's a lot about what we just said in that phrase. You know, and I honestly believe it's possible. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what it is that I do here. I wouldn't get on here and talk about the things that I talk about if I didn't believe that those words were powerful enough to start moving mountains. And it's not going to happen on my time. It's like what you said about planting the seeds. You know, Johnny Appleseed didn't stand around to see whether or not, that tree was going to grow. He planted them and had faith that someday somebody's going to benefit from that action that he took. And I believe that that's our purpose. I believe that maybe we're not getting to see the fruits of our labor, but they're in play right now. And the miracles that we set in place today are going to benefit future generations for eons to come. I honestly believe that. That's why I do what it is that I do.
Because you believe it, because you know, because you have that connectedness, because you don't have any doubt. I mean, when doubt seeps in to us, that is not creator. Think of that.
No, it's
when
not.
When fear hits us, when we are overcome by fear, that is not creator. That is not a high frequency. That is not love and joy, unconditional love. Okay, when anger, rage, jealousies, judgments, all these things that are low frequencies, they have nothing connected to the source, divine source, creator. So that's, you have to think of that. When you hear stupid, crazy, weird thoughts in your mind, that's not creator.
Yep.
That's something else. I don't care what you want to call it. That's not creator. That's not, you are not aligned with creator. So you have to push that away. Yeah, and so it's true. Yolande says, Jerry says, yes, and we can tell it to go away. Exactly. You have to take your power back and stand in your power and say, go away. Get out.
Yeah, I do that on a daily basis. On a daily basis, I do that. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, self, are you nuts? You're sitting there talking to yourself, having a conversation, telling yourself to go away. Like, that ain't myself talking. Guys, I know that's not my heart.
Exactly. Well, like you say, that Creator didn't make any trash. Creator did not create any trash.
Only treasure.
So when you hear those trashy words in your head, guess what? You're out of alignment.
Yep.
You're out of balance.
And you know what is inspiring about this whole deal and frustrating at the same time? The harder you try to do something good, the harder the other side tries to make you miserable.
Yeah, well, that's the
and that's when
the
you
universe.
Know. That's when you know you're on the right path. That's
yes,
simple.
Because when you exactly, that's a clue, a sign right there that the light is growing and the dark does not want to lose its place, does not want to lose position and control. That's why we have known that the healers, the people who are carrying the light or the love, have the biggest challenges.
Yep.
That's why we say we are spiritual warriors, because that is a challenge. It is a we are being challenged.
But those who can persevere through that entire mess, because there's been a lot of people through history that were really awesome people, really good people, and they were tormented by life, and people couldn't understand why is this person so incredibly good, and they keep on having all these terrible things happening to them because of what you just said. That dark side don't like that. It don't want any control gone away from its system. It wants you to fear it, to need it, or whatever. People's reliance on government ought to show you something. Most of the people that you talk to, even though their reliance on government, they don't trust the government. Well, why don't they trust the government, but they still support the same government? And don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-government. I'm anti-corruption. I'm anti-evil. But if you're choosing to live under a system that's supposedly by the people for the people, then it should do what it actually says, you know? Just like the rights that people supposedly have because of a paper, which we all know the truth is a divine thing. We were born with our own rights. We didn't need nobody's permission to be nice to each other or to live our lives and walk the world free. We allowed it.
There's this video going around. It's so sweet and so adorable. There's two little boys, right? They were in the park. I guess their families were in the park, and they lived near to each other, and they became friendly. Well, there's a little black boy. They're about 3-4 years old. Little black boy, little white boy, and there's a picture of them. They hadn't seen each other in several days, and they're running down the street towards each other with their arms held out, and they come into this embrace, right? It is the sweetest, most wonderful thing you saw. They don't see each other as color. I mean, I'm unfortunately, I have to use these terms. I have to say there's a little black boy and there's a little white boy, and they're running down the street with their arms out, can't wait to see each other and embrace each other because they love each other so much. I today have to use these words, a black boy and a white boy. That is a sad thing.
Yep.
So this is where we are in the state today, where we have to define this and talk about how wonderful that is. A little black boy and a little white boy running to each other, hugging each other because they love each other so much with no prejudice. Today we have to speak about that way. We can't just say there were two little boys running down the street together because they love each other. No, we have to emphasize that, well, one is a different color than the other.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad.
That's really
sad. But
that's
how it should be.
And that's why I said all the time about those babies in the crib. They don't look at each other like we look at each other.
And we're not born that way.
No.
We're not born with prejudice. Prejudice is a learned thing. Hatred is a learned thing. Self-loathing is a learned thing. This whole thing about self-loathing yourself, hating yourself, you're trained to do that.
Yep.
You were indoctrinated to hate yourself. Yes. And when someone says unkind things about you, those words are powerful. And you often take them into yourself, especially as a child. You are vulnerable. You're like a little sponge taking everything in. And you believe these negative words. And then you live your life believing you are that, what that person said you were.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as unfortunate as it is, in some family settings, their way that they came up, different, you know, ways that they believe they pass on to their children, and it's hard to break those bonds, so to speak. You know, it's like, I keep telling, but you said earlier about, you know, birds of a feather flock together, and if you hang around like a crowd of people, and they're all saying hateful and crazy and racist things that you disagree with, you should just up and walk away from that, because you don't want to be, you know, influenced by that. But if you stay in that crowd long enough, you might find yourself talking the same way that those people do. And that's the whole dirty secret about the tricks of what's being played on society via all these people who want to keep power. They don't care that you're a racist. They'll tell you you're a racist if you don't agree with what they got to say. But it's a tool that they use. It's that terminology that they use in order to keep control. Because as long as you and that other person is looking at each other differently, because, hey, wait, that kid's black, that kid's white, they're hugging each other, that's not right, you know? It's not right to who?
Well, I'm sure that there are some people, and I'm sorry to have to say this, but I am sure that there are some people, I want to say the majority of people that viewed that video think that it's just wonderful.
Me too.
But I'm sure,
just hearing about it, that
I'm sure that there are some people who that would disgust.
Yeah,
and that's the state of where we are today, where someone, a person, would feel disgusted to see these two little people who absolutely love each other just because they are little boys together, and they just have this love for each other. It's just natural. This is just natural that someone would be disgusted and you know, about that. I'm just saying. So, yeah, and Gaz wrote, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, then the world shall know peace. And that is so true. I guess that's, yeah, Yolen said Jimi Hendrix. Is that, I guess that's a quote from Jimi Hendrix, which I've never heard that, but it makes sense to me. And yes, Barry, the tongue is mightier than the sword. That is so true. We can destroy people just by our words. We can do such harm by the words we use. That's why I'm saying we are co-creators. We are creating our own reality by what we, how we speak, what we believe in, and even our emotions emanate a frequency. So if we have a high frequency of compassion and love and gratitude and joy, that is a high frequency, and that's a healing frequency. It's a harmonizing frequency. If we have thoughts and words that are hateful and harmful, and, you know, that is obvious. When you spew out something, you know, that is negative, you yourself are out of balance, and then you create an imbalance in the system, in this great, extraordinary, you know, web, this sacred web. It affects everything, you know. So this is where we are today. So Barry, are you gonna join us? I don't know. Yes, and we can heal with our words. We do heal with our words. We have to take responsibility. I think this is the key piece. we individually, first of all, have to take responsibility for the vibrations and frequencies that are coming from us, the source, that stone. Like we're the one, we're throwing stones in the pond all the time with our words and our thoughts and our actions. And so we are affecting everything in creation, either positively or negatively. It's simple. It's so simple. And we, in turn, are being affected by others' words and others' actions and others' thoughts, because we are all in this big pond together. You know, we're all on the sacred web together, connected throughout the whole world. So, you know, we have to wake up to this fact of how powerful we are, how we are either creating harmony and balance and peace, or we're creating, you know, hatred and violence and negativities and doing great harm. Yes, we are the ones, you're right, Van, we need to take responsibility to keep it in balance. If you're not happy, I guess I'd say, if you're not happy with what's going on, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to be angry about it? Low frequency. Are you going to be hateful about who's doing what and so on? Low frequency. Okay. Are you going to spew out vile comments and hate and so on and so forth? That's a very low frequency. It will make you sick. It will make you sick. You know, I had somebody years ago who kept calling me up to complain about her partner. She was needing help. Well, I tried to help her. I mean, for 4 years, on and off, she'd call me and connect with me and be crying and all upset and angry and furious and spewing out all these negative comments about her partner, her husband, you know. I'm not saying he didn't deserve some of this, but I said to her, you are going to make yourself sick. You are going to become ill because you are holding on to this rage. You are holding on to this anger and this rage and this hatred. It is going to make you sick.
Yeah, it does.
And I just heard the other day, because I told her, I hear an echo.
That's better.
I told her that after a time I realized that she's not doing any of the things I suggested to help herself. She's not stopping this state of mind that she's in. She's just gone. She's in that hate. She's in that vibration, that frequency of rage and hate. I said to her one day, you know, I have done everything in my power, all that I know that might help you, and I see that, you know, I'm not helping you. I realize I cannot help you. So I suggest that you seek out someone else that might be able to help you. Well, she got all enraged at me, but I needed to step away from that frequency that she was spewing out. It was draining me, okay? Her anger, her rage, and all that stuff was actually draining me.
Yeah. You
and
know.
I had to remove myself from her, and years later, I guess, well, she got cancer. Now I heard that she just passed over. And I'm not saying she did it to herself.
You know,
I would never say that, but I'm just sharing with you how a rage at someone, hatred and so on and so forth, makes us sick.
Oh yeah, that's what I was trying to say there, that you know, whether you're sad or you're angry, it takes a whole lot of energy just to hold that back from exploding, you know, busting out crying or in a rage, and all that energy that you're wasting trying to just hold on to that, if you just would have let go, hopefully not in the anger side of it, you know, if you had to just cry it out or whatever, you know, go behind the barn and shed some tears or something like that. Let that negativity go. You can feel it. You can physically feel it. It makes you nauseated. It makes you tired. It drains every bit of energy that is you. Am I wrong? Uh-oh. Somebody's left. How you doing there, Barry?
Morning, Shazoo. Good morning, Barbara. Huh. Good morning, folks. Where's Patty?
I don't know. Barbara had to step away for a minute. So, how you been? Yeah, maybe my mic ain't working. Can you hear me, Barry?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh.
I seem to be losing the conversation, though.
Oh.
It's going in and out on me again. They don't like us talking, Shizzes.
No, apparently not, because every time you get anywhere close to truth or anything that, you know, is a positive, uplifting kind of thing, it seems like that's when we start having problems.
Well, Facebook interrupted a couple radio shows up in Canada here last night, right in the middle of the shows, with a statement that the show's been terminated due to violations of community standards. And we've never had them interrupt the show right in the middle of the show, shut the show down.
That's crazy.
Two people were shut down last night.
That's crazy, but it's happening more frequently. I mean, look what YouTube's doing. YouTube's actively shutting down channels and deleting videos and stuff. They don't want people talking about things that, you know, aren't accepted by, you know, the power source or whatever.
Well, people got to realize is that we're falling into, if we're not already in a full-blown state of fascist state in Canada and the United States and the rest of the world, you think we're in a free society. But we are so far from being free, it's unbelievable. And people got to wake up to the paradigm.
Oh, yeah.
They got to realize that right now they're taking inches and inches and inches every day of our freedoms away from us. And we're not recognizing it because it's like you said, you put the frog into the pot and you turn the water up slowly. The frog doesn't realize he's getting burned.
Well, and it's worse. It's worse than that,
Barry.
It's worse than that because you got some of the average Joes out there because they think that they know it all, or maybe they were just frustrated by a situation or whatever. That now they're actually people actively trying to get more laws and more regulations and more government control over everybody, you know, to supposedly resolve something. Somebody was talking about yesterday, well, you might have to have a bicycle license. You might have to go take a test and learn how to ride a bicycle according to the rules. Otherwise, you can't ride a bicycle anymore because people are getting run over by people who ain't paying attention. You see what I'm saying? But
oh yeah. Well, it's always to keep you safe. You know, that's always the bottom line. We're going to keep you safe. We got to do this to keep you safe. We're going to keep safer, safer, safer all the time.
Well, it's amazing.
And, boy, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's amazing how far somebody will actually go to secure their own oppression. You know what I mean?
Well, they don't realize it. Some people still don't see it. But you know what? I would say now that a majority of the population is starting to see it. We're starting to see a mass awakening around the planet. We have a major battle in front of our hands right now.
Yep.
It's a battle that we can't lose. If we lose this battle we're in right now, you know, and I know that our children are going to be in a tyrannical state. And I don't wish that on anybody. What's going on in Canada right now, Shazers? I don't know if you're following going on in Canada, but we have a government that is completely, completely out of control. We're being run by an idiot, a globalist, just absolute globalist to the core prime minister, who is in the process of absolutely destroying this country. What's happened in Canada in the last 4 years, it makes me cry. It really does when I see what's going on in this country. The good side of that is that we do have a political party on the rise right now in Canada that is absolutely starting to take the country by storm. I think you're going to see a Trump-style event happen in Canada with the People's Party of Canada and Maxime Bernier. I've got involved, you know, she says, I've never in my life wanted to get involved in a political party. I hate politicians because they lie, they cheat, they steal, and we've seen it all through history, what politicians do to the civilians. But we have a situation in Canada right now that if any of the mainstream parties get back into power, this country will not be a free country in 2 or 3 years. It'll be completely gone.
Yeah, their track record.
We're in the fight of our life right now. So I put my support behind this party. One of the reasons, and I'm not going to talk about it too long, but I just want to make a couple points about why I got involved. And the reason I got involved is because of the people that are involved in this party have great, great levels of integrity, intelligence, and they're just good people. And if you look into the background, you'll find out they're good people.
Very good.
I know, you know, I'm getting a little pushback this from people that I know, but I've taken a stand right now for this party because it's the only option we have in Canada right now.
There's
to stop the
message. There's a message in the chat room for you, Barry. First,
what did it say?
Neutron, protons, and electrons first said to me, Shaz, the very subject of licenses for bikes has been raised by a politician here in the UK. So they're trying to do this all over. And then on the other deal, said the man at the helm in Canada is just doing as he is told, Barry, a puppet, save as many leader, all puppets, yeah. So,
yeah, of course they are, Jesus. You know, the man behind the curtains, the ones that pull the strings, the people we never see are the ones that are pulling the strings. I mean, just look at the connection to George Soros with Justin Trudeau. And then you look at George Soros and what he represents and what he's doing in the world.
Oh,
and
it's
in a nutshell.
That is one man that sickens me to my core whenever I just listen to him speak. Some of the things that he were talking about whenever he was like 14 years old and how the Nazis were going around confiscating people's stuff, and he was actually there as part of it, but he didn't hold himself accountable because he said, well, I was only a kid, you know, and you know, I just did, you know, whatever I had to survive. And I'm like, no, at 14, you may still be legally a child, but you've got enough common sense, hopefully, to know the difference between right and wrong. Otherwise, your parents failed you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, true.
That's
but if he was surrounded by evil, if that man was surrounded by evil from the time he was born, you could probably understand where his mind was at 14 years old.
Yeah.
But he's a man right from the pits of hell, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I don't subscribe to the whole.
And he should be up for.
I don't subscribe to their whole the ends justify the means thing, because I don't believe that you should go out there and you know, destroy entire cultures and families and countries or whatever in order to try to move us towards what they want as this one world government. We're not wanting a one world government, other than the extent. See, that's a tricky word. When you say one world government, you know, that's not what we need. What we need is a one world idea. I need all these nations to be themselves, to be their own cultures. That gives us this diversity of life. It's amazing, you know. Let the Russians be the Russians and the Chinese be the Chinese and so on down the line. But somehow or another, we got to come across the one world idea to stop all the craziness that's going on. And you're not going to get that by going out brutalizing somebody and trying to force them into compliance to whatever you think the idea is supposed to be about. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. He made another comment in there that any political party that makes it into mainstream is only will eventually be corrupted. Keep on voting. Well, you know, I'm going to push back against that a little bit, because the way this party is set up is that the ultimate power isn't given to the prime minister. It's being set up that every member, every candidate across the country has a say in party decisions, and there will be no dictatorship in Canada under Maxime Bernier. People have to look at the platform before you make a statement about all parties being the same, because I'm looking at something right now that is different in Canada. We've never seen anything like this, and it is gaining popularity. We are fighting for our lives up here right now, and this man has come onto the scene and given people hope. And like I said, I'm not a kind of person who says I'll ever get involved in politics, because I know how the system works.
But on that note, Barry,
we have one choice in Canada right now to try and save this country.
Yeah.
Because everything he's saying is exactly the opposite of what the mainstream parties are saying, and he is going to be held accountable.
On that note, what you're talking about, I used to say all the time that if good people don't try to get themselves in positions of power as far as the system that we're in, then that means that the rest of the people in there are all corrupt. So, you know, even if you have to work through the system, you have to have good people in there to balance out all the corruption that's going on. People that aren't afraid to stand up and voice the truth about things. You know, and that's why I like this idea that you got a new political system that you can subscribe to that, you know, is going to help benefit Canada. Because
the thing about Maxine is open to two of the things that we're talking right now, and this is going across the country amongst all the candidates, this recall legislation is one of the main things that we're going to start talking about in the party, the fact that the public in Canada can actually recall the government if the government goes rogue on it. We've never had that opportunity in Canada. That alone speaks volumes for this party is going. And I said, when I interview these people, Shaziz, I interview PPC candidates now on my radio shows, and they're in tears. You know why they got involved in this country? Because they love this country, they love their children, and they see hope, they see something here that's different, that isn't the same mainstream bullcrap that we've been fed for the last 100 years in Canada.
Yep.
That we see a man actually standing up for Canadian culture values, wants to shut down all the illegal immigration, wants to withdraw us from the United Nations. All this is in his platform. It's resonating with Canadians across the country right now. And I'm glad he's coming up, because we need this in Canada. If we don't stop the madness here, Shaziz, we're going to be like England and France and Germany in 2 years.
Well, here in the United States, they
totally
had
out of control.
Ron Paul. He was of the Libertarian Party, and a lot of people, you know, don't, you know, subscribe to everything the Libertarians say. But Ron Paul was talking about the truth, and they suppressed him so bad during the presidential election that, you know, it's a miracle he even got heard. But most of the people subscribed to the things that he was talking about. He was out there telling the truth. He was talking about ending the Federal Reserve and bringing us back to going out. Only time we go to war is if it's constitutionally based, or, you know, it's a legal thing because we got to defend ourselves or something. Not for, because we got to go out there and be the world's police or anything like that. You know, the whole weapons of mass destruction debacle that went on after 9/11, and then they couldn't find any weapons when they got there. Well, it wasn't just that. Look what happened over there to Gaddafi and different, you know, world, you know, figures like that. Gaddafi wanted to unite all of Africa, and he wanted to use Africa's resources to uplift Africa. There are a lot of companies that are in Africa. Africa is probably the most mineral-rich country in the world. They got a lot of land. They got a lot of resources. And they have some of the most poorest people in the existence of time. And if you got somebody who's talking about, you know, building an irrigation canal clean into the center to bring these people water so that they can grow crops and do things like that. Where he messed up was he told them that he wanted gold payment for his oil, not the dollar. That's where he messed up. And you see what happened from that. Because if you go back and look through history, a lot of these folks, including Saddam Hussein, they were all buddy-buddy with these people when things was going their way. But the moment they stepped out of line of that system that is the control mechanism of the world, you know, it's not just the dollar bill, but, you know, the dollar bill has a lot of responsibility in a lot of the stuff that's gone on as far as the wars go. And as far as the resources, I get upset because there ain't no way we're ever going to run out of what they call crude oil. I mean, we can make it in a lab in less than 2 hours, we can make crude oil. It's not some magical fluid made by dinosaurs from thousands or millions of years ago. It's not what people think. But nonetheless, you can't get that information out there into the general public is because they don't want that information out there. It has to be scarce. It has to be limited. Otherwise, they can't sell it for the price tag that they do. And anybody who would allow them to base your entire economy off of one type of resource like the petrol dollar, that's foolish. Because now you got to go to war to protect that petrol dollar. And I challenge anyone to come to me and prove to me that that's not the case. That a lot of the wars that we went to didn't have something to do with oil. Didn't have something to do with resources or somebody's pipeline. You know? In other countries like the Soviet Union and the stuff like that, when they wanted to run their gas line across and you know, they were over there fighting for, you know, their portion of the deal too. There was a whole lot going on. Gas pipelines, oil pipelines, so we're talking natural gas and crude oil, two different ones. So who's going to control this financial resource That is this oil. All these old Arab kings out there living high on the hog and millions and billions of dollars selling to the world. And then one of them decides, well, I ain't selling it to you anymore. You're putting these sanctions on me or what, for whatever purpose. And then suddenly we got to go to war with these people. But they always seem to sucker the people into doing the dirty work, which is going over there using them weapons of war against these people, because these people decided we're going to send our resources to somewhere else. You see what I mean?
Well, price of gas is going to go up, because what they did in Saudi Arabia here yesterday was pretty monumental as far as oil production goes, as far as I can see. To me, it smells like a false flag, but we'll see where it goes. But what I read this morning and yesterday is they've lost approximately 50% of the oil production facilities. So,
wow.
Watch the price of fuel go up, man. Well, you saw the attack.
That's Iran, right?
Refineries in Saudi Arabia. Did you see that pictures?
That's Iran, right?
Saudi Arabia. It was
Iran, because they just bombed their oil reserves.
Who bombed them?
Well, it was drones, actually.
It was drones.
It's a radical group are claiming responsibility for the attack in Saudi Arabia. And it was done by drones. And they attacked two major oil production facilities. I was looking at all the links and videos on it last night and reading the stories on it. And they're saying they've lost up to 50% of their oil production facilities. And they were targeted, of course, on purpose.
Now so oil prices are going to go up. But that's,
well, they will.
But I don't believe that. This is a game.
I think it's a false flag myself. I think it's smoke and mirrors.
I agree.
Yeah.
You have to look at what's going on there, and really, step back and look at it from a different perspective. It's all, the game is still in play, and they're gaming us all. Now oil prices are going to go up. Why, that's the only place where oil comes from?
Well, neutrons, protons, and electrons in the People for People chat room came up with a brilliant solution. Said passive non-compliance is the only way to grind the system to a halt. Stay home 3 days to begin with. That will raise eyebrows. I mean, you're not buying gas that way. No protests, no demonstrations. And it's brilliant, because the whole thing is, the reason why they keep jacking the prices up on us, because they know that we're going to pay it. But if you're tired of paying those higher prices, the best way to get the prices to go down is to not buy it. That's simple. And we've seen it before. People, when gas prices went up to $4 a gallon, not only could they not afford that, they didn't buy gas for about a week or two, and it just started dropping. There's a lot more fuel out there than people think there is. But the game that Barbara's talking about that's being played on us is to make you believe that it's scarce. And so,
The biggest oil reserves in the whole world are in the United States of America, and they're not being tapped into. Why is that?
Yeah, well, there's other places as well. There are other oil fields there, too, and so it's not just that one. I'm just saying that this is all this game to get everybody, look here, don't look there. This is a lot of hidden stuff going on here, and we are being played over and over again.
Oh, yeah, like a banjo.
Like a banjo, exactly.
Got that Beverly Hillbillies tune in the background. Or
Big
Hill.
Well, I think what you're saying, Barry, I'm thinking about this, and I know that you sound very passionate about this. This group of people that is standing up, and I also see what Gaz is saying about once you get into the system, I've said this myself, they take you, any politician that gets drawn in, elected in, they're chosen, okay? It's not the people's vote that gets these people in. These people are put in position because of their policies and so on, and their manipulation, can they be manipulated? They are all manipulated. So when you get into this system, political system, you are taken into that back room from the very top all the way through. I feel that. And you are told by the cabal, now you're in this position. If you want to stay here and you can get all the stuff, we'll give you there. You'll get lots of money. You'll have power. You'll have position. But you have to play by our rules, period. And that's it. right from the president down. And that's in all systems, because the cabal, the hidden cabal, the controllers are in every government throughout the whole world. It's just not here in the United States. It's in Canada. It's in across the world, in Europe. So this we know by now. I understand that, but I also understand your passion, and I basically would say to you, you know, don't give up this, because we can't give up. We can't let them silence us, okay? We have to keep going. We have to be passionate about this. We have to stand up and take responsibility. I think the passive noncompliance is the only way to grind a system to halt. I think in a lot of ways is true, because if we have said step away from the system, you know, get out of that system, okay? So that's very important to pay attention to. You know, don't be the big consumer, the stuff you don't need. You know, don't keep getting into debt, you know, which is so unnecessary. You know, work with the community. Work with people who do, you know, trade. Start trading with people and stuff like that. Yeah, get out of the system. So I just would say, you know, yeah, no protests, no demonstrations. Gaz said, and we have said that for the only reason that that's where they want you to be, in the streets, so that they can basically create martial law. You know, they want the people fighting each other, okay? They want the people pitted against each other. They want the people enraged and angry and out of control so that they can basically control them with martial law. You know, give them a right to take away the guns, for instance. You know, this is what we're looking at, to eliminate all our freedoms and so on. I would just say, and I'm this way too, you feel in your heart very strongly about this group of people, you know, and I know you're really good at discerning energies and frequencies and you know, being adept at that and knowing when someone is speaking truth and you're doing the research on these people and so on, you know, and above all, I would say just keep, you know, keep going with that. Don't let anybody deter you, but just keep alert.
Well, I'm not going to, Barbara, because I've looked at the man's heart out the
gate. I know, I'm just, this is what I would advise anyone. You know, we cannot let them put fear in us, thinking that this isn't going to do any good. They're all the same, they're bigger than me, they're more powerful than me. Don't fall for that, is what I'm saying. And I know you're not, but I'm just giving that advice.
I don't think I'm falling for anything right now. Maxime Bernier is the only candidate in Canada that came out publicly supporting the Prime Minister of Austria for what he's doing right now, shutting down the mosques and vetting the people and getting these bad people out of this country. That's what Austria is doing right now. So is Poland. So is a few other countries now. We're seeing major pushback against the cabal. And Maxime Bernier came out publicly supporting the Prime Minister of Austria. You don't hear that out of any of the candidates in Canada. And he applauded the gentleman for what he's doing. Well, that speaks volumes to me for what this man's mind is really all about. And sure, he's a politician. And I'll push back against all the people that say, once you're in there, you're corrupted, because I don't believe this man is corrupted. I believe his heart is in the right place. And I say that only because of the people that are supporting him. The people like Mr. Mansour and Laura Lynn Thompson, Frank Vaughan, and Billy Joyce, Mike Traherne, all these super intelligent individuals that don't get duped, are getting behind this, because we've got something here right now that can stop the madness of Canada. If we don't stop it, whether it be his political party or not, if we don't stop this, it's going to destroy our country. And we see this. I interview these people, and they're in tears, Barbara, in tears.
Right. I get it. I hear you. Okay. Yeah, no matter what.
That's all I want to say about that today, okay, guys? Period.
Well, I don't want Canada to be destroyed. I want Canada to be Canada. Canada's got a lot of cool culture and all kinds of amazing things about Canada. All these nations out here, like I said many times, I want Russia to be Russia and China to be China and so on down the line. I think we need all those differences. I think we need all those different cultures. We don't need no one world government, no one world society, so to speak, not at least not under some flag or ideology or anything like that, just a belief in what we were saying earlier about how we're all connected and, you know, we want to take care of each other. That we're up against some folks who have embedded themselves in this world like a tick, you know, and they're so deeply embedded. that it's hard to get anything accomplished, but I still think there's hope because of what we're hearing here and over there in Canada where you're at, Barry, that people are actually getting involved in everything instead of just sitting around complaining about it. They're actually, you know, hey, I don't like politicians, but I'm getting involved because it's that important. And I think that that is going to be beneficial for the future youth of Canada. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we got to put the brakes on what's going on right now. And Mr. Burney is also open, totally. They stated this public that he's open to constitutional reform in Canada because the Constitution, the way it sits in our country right now, we have no power. We are absolute little peons working for the government. And that he recognizes, and he's talked about that publicly. You don't hear that coming out of any politician's mouth. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to talk about it anymore, but we have to do something right now. If we let this go on, we could talk about France, we could talk about Germany, we could talk about the fact that we're almost at a state of civil war right now in these countries because of what's going on. The same thing's coming here. And if we don't stop it, it will be here in a couple of years. And Canadians are starting to see this now. I see Canadians now standing up in droves, like by the thousands. I see all kinds of them starting radio shows. I see all kinds of new people wanting to get on the air and speak their mind. So we right now, it's the only thing we have in Canada that's giving people hope. Because any of the mainstream parties are propagating the same agenda. It's all globalists coming, whether it's the NDP or the PPC or the Conservative, I should say, or the Liberals or the Green Party. It's all the same rhetoric.
Well, you know, Barry,
what's different? Go ahead.
You're starting to sound like one of those voices of reason that we talked about at the beginning of this show. And
I consider myself a common sense person.
Yeah, so
I'm not duped. I'm not stupid. I see what's going on in this country. I know how the politicians, I know how the whole system works. And it's all wrong.
Yeah.
But right now, we've got to put a stop on it so we can possibly work on constitutional reform. There's people that are in the party right now, candidates, and Max actually knows that they're promoting the Jura movement in Canada. It's something that he wants to look at. If he gets into power, these people are going to have a say. It's the difference between this party and everything else. The people that are running your candidates are going to be able to have a say in what goes on in the country,
yeah,
not just one prime minister. So it's being set up totally different. I just say, people, go look at the platform, read it, and it'll resonate with you, because everything in there is absolutely 100% totally common sense approach to all the problems we got right now.
Well, there.
Look what's going on in Spain right now. Holy smokes, I wouldn't want to be there, man. Better have a boat. Didn't want to change subjects, but I was looking at that this morning. She says, holy smokes, are they getting flooded out?
Man, what a mess.
Floods, they're saying now. 1,000-year floods.
Voices.
It was 100-year floods 2 days ago. It's 1,000-year floods this morning.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
send our prayers out to the people that have to go through that. You know, see, we got enough trouble with natural disasters, let alone having man-made, you know.
How come the whole world's not in the Bahamas right now? She says, how come the whole world isn't rallying right now and sending thousands and thousands of people to this island? Because what they're going through right now is hell on earth. And nobody, no human being on a civilized society should be going what the Bahamas are going through right now. The help isn't getting there quick enough. There's bodies rotting in the street.
Oh my God.
Smell is everywhere. People, the reporters went in there yesterday. I was watching a reporter there yesterday on the scene. He couldn't even, he had a mask on. He says the smell now is so bad that it makes him want to vomit. He can't get close to the site anymore because there's rotting bodies underneath these piles of rubble. And we don't see the international community rallying. We see the international...
What happened? I lost you there.
...roads or $1 billion over here for... But this major disaster happens. These people are living in hell, and the world isn't rallying. How come, folks? How come?
Well, it's the same thing with Puerto Rico, the same thing.
I know,
it's the same thing, and yet it's still the question.
Talk, they don't walk the walk. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, it's this disconnect, and yet the focus, the mainstream media is focusing people in other stupid stuff, while people, the disaster there, and there another storm apparently is ramping up to hit the Bahamas again. I can't imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't even know about that. That's how disconnected I've been.
They're looking at another... It's forming right now. I was looking at that this morning, and it's actually increasing in power right now, and they are going to get hit with this. They're calling for 50 to 60 mile an hour winds, but that could change in the next 2 days.
They've
been hit, and now they get hit again. And it won't be a strong of winds, but it's going to bring a lot of rain, isn't good.
That's been brought to my attention, it's another example of what I was trying to explain earlier. You got that one guy getting a bunch of people inspired to make homeless shelters for 14 families in another country. And, people are asking him, what about their health care? What about their jobs? What about this? And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's doing everything that he can individually and with as many supporters as he could get. Why is it that we can't get that same thing on a worldwide basis? If these people are going through this much trouble and the mainstream media is basically distracting everybody away from that to stupid, mindless stuff, then, we got serious problems.
Stupid, mindless stuff is what the Queen is doing the Harry and whatever her name is, what they're doing. That's like front page news. So I'm just saying, so here's just a little revisit on the thing that happened in Saudi Arabia, the oil plant. So two side-by-side headlines here. Petrol prices are set to spike in wake of drone strike on Saudi Arabian oil plants. Okay, the next headline, the next picture is U.S. is ready to deploy its oil reserves to stop disruptions to global markets after drone attack suspends operations at Saudi Arabian process facility. How interesting is that?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
That's
mind-blowing. Isn't that so interesting?
United States to the rescue again. Imagine that.
They're going to deploy their oil reserves. Well, what's the price is going to be? Because there's low, I'm just saying, but what's the game here? Here's the game is playing us big time.
Well, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world, but we're getting close to the end of our time today, so I want to get back to this Voices of Reason thing. And there have been many of them trying to bring peace, and have they been ignored? Have they been suppressed? I know that you know a lot of people in Canada, Barry. Do you know how many Voices of Reason of people that have tried and tried and tried to help Canada out and still haven't been able to seem to get things accomplished? Have they been ignored or have they been suppressed? Or maybe a combination?
I've known lots of people here for the last 10 years or 5 or 8 years that have talked to people that are really trying to get people awake, but what I'm seeing now is people actually starting to pay attention.
That's good.
I haven't seen that before, but now I'm seeing it. I've been kind of talking with the PPC candidate here for the area, and he can't go in public now anymore because he's being bombarded with questions. Wow. Wherever he goes, he's being bombarded with questions. So, what we're seeing in Canada right now is a government almost into a complete fascist dictatorship where they're controlling the media, they're controlling everything that we're being allowed to hear. They have got their finger all over the RCMP. We had one of the biggest scams in Canadian history exposed 2 days ago about RCMP intelligence leaks. One of the highest members in the intelligence society, the RCMP, is under arrest, is facing 17 different indictments for leaking information to the Chinese about critical Canadian infrastructure, apparently. The story is going to go huge. It's got Justin Trudeau's name is being directly implicated in this investigation that came out this morning. That was a direct wire right from Global News that Justin Trudeau is being implicated in this investigation of this RCMP investigator. One of the highest guys in Canadian security was arrested on Friday. And now we have also an investigation into Mrs. Lucky, who is the commissioner now of the RCMP. There's an investigation I heard being launched into her. We also have on Tuesday a criminal proceeding against Justin Trudeau by a private individual in Canada. It has been accepted by a judge. It's going to the second stage. If it goes past the second stage, then Justin Trudeau is going to have to face a criminal court in Canada. And that is groundbreaking information. This is unbelievable, some of the stuff that's coming out right now. His name is Norman Travesty, folks. If you want to look him up on YouTube. Norman Travesty, and what he's doing right now, his private citizen move to arrest Justin Trudeau, has gone through two stages now in the court systems, and a judge has actually accepted this, which has never happened before in Canada. So we got a judge out there with some tenacity, and we've got three lawyers involved with this gentleman that have got a lot of courage because of what could possibly come out. We know how deep and corrupt the government is and what's possible inside the realms of government when people start speaking against them. But that's coming out on Tuesday, guys. So there's some pretty crazy stuff going on here right now, she says. Really crazy stuff. Well, all coming out about our prime minister right in the middle of the start of the election.
I guess it seems like that there are people listening to those voices of reason in your area. What about you, Barbara, down in your area? You know anybody like that?
I'm sorry, what was that?
In your area where you're at, do you know any voices of reason out there that either being ignored or suppressed?
Well, I think, like Barry said in the beginning, I think that more and more people are waking up, actually. In the Hudson Valley here, where I live, of course, we have Woodstock. You know, I lived in Woodstock for a while. It's like a half hour away from me. It's a community of, you know, I guess I'd say really connected people in a lot of ways. They're sensible. There are sensible people, but I do also notice there's a, I guess the balance is trying to come into itself because there are people who are still remain confused and supporting the extreme left, green, you know, forever green or the Green New Deal stuff because they do want to help the world and they do want to help nature and so on. But they're falling for the lie, you know, they're falling for the manipulation. I see those types of people, and I do see reasonable people as well. I think there's this jockeying for position, and it is an energy thing, of course, because we always have to look at everything as energy.
Yep.
One side's ramping up its lie and rhetoric, and the other side is you know, is rising up with its truth and you know, sensibilities and reasonableness, and they're rising and falling and rising and falling, and I think this is the process that in this timeline in an extraordinary time, and that we are all participating one way or the other. So I guess common sense and sensibility and reasonableness and stuff like that is personal choice, and we have to be very careful about what we are aligning ourselves with or allowing ourselves to be dragged into. We have to use discernment, you know, and that's why I said, you know, to Barry, I know he has that ability to discern the frequencies of the words of these people and the energy around these. It's not just becoming passionate because they're saying things that sound good to you. It's about really being alert and aware of the frequency and the energy of the person themselves.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's coming from their heart.
Right.
And I see that in these people. I see it. Everybody that's involved in this party, it's coming from their hearts. There's no hiding how they feel and what they see. And that's why they've got involved. And, you know, the mainstream media comes out and calls running for membership in the party as candidates. We have Sikhs. We have people from every race, creed, and religion that you could possibly speak to me about running as candidates in this party.
Wow.
What does that say to you, folks?
Well, I tell you one thing. When you talk about energy like Barbara mentioned or the heart like Barry mentioned, I feel, honestly, I actually feel this heart thing growing. It's not explainable in, you know, at least words that I can formulate, but I feel something going on. Something's changing. There's some energy that we're experiencing right now that is basically ramping up. It's amplifying. I'm starting to listen to more people who really care. And I'm starting to feel that energy spike, if that makes any sense to anybody other than me. But every time I do one of these shows, it blows my doors off of how much, not just the words that are said, but the reaction that we get from the words that are said, and that energy that just basically like balloons my soul, my heart, that I feel inspired. I feel hopeful, and I honestly still, regardless of how bleak everything might look, I still believe in the dream, and I still believe it's possible for us to resolve things. I don't think this battle's going to be over in any soon manner, but I also don't think that this battle's going to be won by the dark side. I don't believe that in any... My own spiritual journey tells me different. My book that I subscribe to tells me different. But regardless, my heart is what I'm listening to right at the moment. And from the words that I see in the chat rooms and the reactions to the comments and everybody seeming to be on the same page, we're not preaching to the choir here. We're ramping up that energy that is our heart, and we're sending it out worldwide, and I honestly feel it's moving forward. I don't feel like a boat anchor anymore. I honestly feel like one of those voices of reason, but I think this time something different's happening. I honestly think we're being heard. So with that said, which one of you two want to go first?
Well, I'd like... Oh, thank you. I'd like to say, yeah, Van, I totally am right there with you. She says we do need to return to that natural law, that law of the people, spirit. Yes, the natural law, creator's law, because we are all connected, and I feel this is a timeline that we are in that is prophetic. There are many prophecies unfolding, and of course, there's always the positive and the negative, and that includes prophecy. You know, there's the downfall prophecy, and there's the rising up prophecy, and the thousand years of peace and harmony and balance, and we are in a great Kali Yuga. You know, I do believe that, and this is a cycle, and we are in a rising cycle, I feel, and there's entities and aspects that are trying to tear us back down into that other Kali Yuga. So we've done this before, we've been here before, I truly believe that, and we showed up here at this time to participate. We are all part of this. Nobody's outside of this. Everything that happens, of course, is affecting every one of us. That's because we're involved in this sacred web of life. We're here for a reason. We have more power than we could ever imagine to create either harmony and peace or the opposite. That's your own choice. It's free will. We have a free will. And so I think that this is an awesome time to be here. And, you know, my faith is very strong, and I do believe in the light, and I do believe in the power of love and the power of prayer. You know, prayer, don't forget that part. Prayer has to come from your heart in full belief and faith, because then miracles do happen, and I believe in miracles. And it's not just voting or siding with a person. It is using your prayers for the assistance that person who is standing up to take a position is touched by Creator, that they're in alignment with Creator, that Creator guides them, that they hear the guidance to do good for the whole, all people. We cannot forget that part. Our prayers are powerful. It's not just writing your vote in, okay? It's not just standing out in the street saying, I'm with that guy. The prayer is so powerful. And we have to align with that frequency, because that's where the miracles are. That's what I'm going to say. And thank you, everybody, for being with us today.
It's amazing. I agree. So what about you, Barry?
Awesome. Awesome, Barbara. Good thoughts, man. And, I think we're at a pinnacle time right now in human history. We're either going to lose this fight, or we're going to win. And we can't lose it. What's going on right now has to be stopped if we're going to have any kind of future for our children and our children's children. And that's why I'm here every day fighting for them, because I see what's coming in this world. And whether we can stop it or not, I don't know, but I'm not going to stop trying. I'm going to spend my time opening my heart to people. And when you do that, it's funny, because people really want to open up their hearts. We're all feeling pain and frustration and despair in our lives. It doesn't matter who you talk to in society, they're feeling these negative energies around them. And when you open up your heart to people, it's amazing that the impact that has on people. You'll start a conversation with a total stranger, and they'll open your heart up because they see your heart is open. So do that when you talk to people. It's more important now that we really share the the love that we feel inside for our fellow human beings. Wear it on your shirt sleeve, man. Wear it everywhere you go, and you'll impact people. It's always a good feeling to do that. Really, all I got to say to you guys, great show, always journey. Always a little journey, you guys. Have a little chat. Thanks for having me.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself, Barry. That's amazing. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you this. I love each and every one of you for taking your time to spend that time with Barbara and Barry and People for People and Shazia's Radio. I honestly believe that there's still hope in this world, and I'm like Barry. I'm not giving up. It don't matter whether we win or lose. It does in the long term for future generations, but I'm saying no matter how it ends up, I am not giving up. I'm going to go down with every bit of love that I got in my heart and shining my light as bright as I possibly can, because I believe that's what my God wanted for me to do. That's why I believe I'm here, you know. And I ain't no more special or any less than any of all of you out there. We're all family and we're all pieces of the puzzle. And when we figure that out and we come together, that's what the system fears the most. So if you found anything inspirational about this show today, please share the podcast and links, because we're trying to throw the message out there. We're trying to throw the positive pebble in the pond, and right now I think that's what the world needs, is a lot more positive pebbles. I thank every one of you for all your efforts, everything you do, from passing links to just the wonderful comments that come in the chat rooms. You folks are just amazing. You are the miracle, like Barbara said. I believe that. And I believe that with everything I am. So, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Join us next time. Peace and love. Thanks again, Barry and Barbara. Love you both. Take care.
Stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh, one hand. Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss, they're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay? What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place.
We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't...
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three dots whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off and mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.